Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Rodrigo Santana.
Okay, sir. I believe you're here for a parole hearing, and I believe the Honorable Mr. Johnson will be conducting the hearing at this time, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning? Can you hear me better now, sir? Mr. Florentino, can you hear me better now? Can you hear me? Okay. Sir, could you just state your name, your ADC number for us for the record, please?
I have 0-5-6-4-0-5.
Okay. Can you state your full name for us, please?
Florentino.
And your last name?
Rana.
Okay.
Great.
All right, so you're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. So to my far right, by my far left, the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Dill. In the middle, we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. Right next to me, to my left, is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse, sir. And my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, okay? All right, sir. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31-411 absolute discharge, 41-1604 home arrest, or a 31-412 regular parole. You're currently serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. You became parole eligible on March 19th of 2010. Is that about right, sir?
Yes, sir.
You also have a outstanding detainer on you from ICE, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to your release plan, sir, you do have in your progress report, and according to your release plan, states that you have family support and they will be at the hearing. Your bar will also be at this hearing, too. That you have a residential address with Daniel Oliveri, looks like, at 6951 North Magic Line, Tucson, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so your last ticket that you had was in 2016, looks like you had a ticket for theft, possession. It was a minor, you found guilty of that. What is that about, sir?
I was a one of those that I found on the microwave, and since I was the one that I got, I was in the people that I get from my cube, and the sergeant who found it in there, and they tried to bribe my bomb job for me, and I told them it was wrong, they just gave me, he was a minimum friend, you know. I guess $4 a month.
Okay, so it looks like you have taken some programs since you've been in there. It looks like your last program was in 2013. Have you had any recent programs in 2013, sir?
Yes, sir. I am the facilitator for the union for my colleagues and alcoholics among them. And I am not doing the work since I came back.
So like I talked about, you have the a hold on you for the U.S. Department of Justice, and you also have a hold on you for ICE. Do you know what those holds are for, sir?
Yes, the whole is normal, you know, sensation. I was convinced to go to an immigration court to me because I'm a refugee and not a citizen.
Okay. So it looks like you had several parole hearings before this board. You had a parole hearing in October 9th of 09, in which you were denied, and then you had one in April 26th, in which you were granted parole. Then it looks like that was in April 26th of 2010. And then it looks like here on September 13th, that parole was revoked, and then it looks like you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hearings after that, in which you were all denied. So, so what happened when you were released? It looked like you were released in 2010. You were out for about almost 3 years and didn't get in any trouble. What happened?
Nothing. What happened was to deal with you. Occasionally, every now and then, I drink and I violated my condition on that aspect because I was part of my condition. I was drinking, I always was in trouble, and I screwed myself up, so that I was working, I was taking care of my family, myself, and,
So why'd you start back to drinking, sir? Why'd you start back to drinking?
It was like a sort of sample. Let me bring something. You know, I opened a business, a cycling business. And unfortunately, one of my friends, the guy, he was sort of put on a biotic, But he was in our work with. So, I myself had some changes in school, because any time after we close the business, I thought we would go there and see five, and I drink it 2 or 3 with him, and that was like practically the routine thing, And I was drinking twice or 3 times a week, 2 or 3 beers, to go to one place back home, because I only got unfortunate with my business. But I wasn't supposed to leave in touch, And my PO, Mr. Bill Preston, he even told me, he said, Mr. Santana, he went to my house and said, Mr. Santana, you cannot come back to business from Christian Lane. Don't bring it in, I said, I'm in town. And I only got time to buy a desk to me because I got this in the morning.
So this incident that you're currently in custody for, so I'm going to just read a little bit of information and then I'm going to have you explain to this board what occurred during that night. It's basically an incident that occurred between you and two friends. You guys were riding in a car. You took out a gun that was loaded. It says that you and basically your friend was in the car. You guys started having an argument that was a carryover. An argument from earlier before. At that time, you got out of the car, walked around the car, and walked over to the passenger side. You had told the victim to get out of that fight, and it says that you walked around the car instead of fighting. You shot the victim. Is that right?
Because he told me to pop the car and to beat the crap out of you. some kind of, to me, I don't know, you know, but I was thinking about the lease, but I was involved in some kind of satanic shit, and I would believe it, I didn't, I was before, you know, so I grabbed it to the church, and I baptized him, and unfortunately, that same day, and my entire government was dismissed, it happened because after the baptism, you know, where I could be down doing carne asada, and then, you know, went to the bar and drank a few beer, and then I left him at the bar because my late wife, my dad, was also in pension, was training my daughter, and she decided to go home, so I took my wife from home, and I left him home, and then I forgot I left him at the bar. And I came back to the bar to get him out. And that was a disaster. And I am, you know, I am having the most for that situation for, and nothing to be proud of.
Okay. So there's some indication in here that this man involved some cocaine. That was delivered from San Francisco, and an ounce of cocaine was missing, and that's what the argument was over?
No, that was, the argument was real good on that one, but that was something that he was, and to take people as it was going on, you know, but it was taking people in the day, you know, when he passed away, I found out doing things, you know, what I was doing when he passed away. You know, but that was something that they got some kind of the man, as far as I know, the disease, he will be supporting.
So why did you shoot the victim, sir?
And why I shoot him because I told him since we had the party that near Cali passing me out, and I don't pay attention to this boy I was going to the floor. But when he told me that after the father will hit the crap out of me that was in my head, he retained the mango, and then I walk out of the car and I shoot into the air, you know, because I don't want to shoot him. I shoot into the air. And then he walked it with me, and then I shoot him in the leg, in the thigh, you know, he got shot in the thigh, and he keep it walking for me, even though he got shot in the thigh, and that was when I told him to go out of the thigh, and cried, you know, that was when he finally leaned forward, and the fellow was shot, you know, on the shoulder blade, I guess, and that was when the fellow shot, you know.
Okay. So, sir, it says that also when you were revoked that you had a positive UA for cocaine, too.
Yes, sir, I did. And I got sick, too, because I never had to miss out on that kind of drug, you know. And what happened was I meet this girl and I see cocaine. She asked me for a ride, you know. And I thought that she had an apartment or housing, which was she got was a motel room, and I worked in there with her. And I did what I did, you know, and I even got sick for that thing. And unfortunately, I guess two or 3 days later, I guess, I went to grab, you know, and that was when I got bored. And then I went to her, I paid $80, and I told him, they brought me into a car department, drug treatment thing, and I gave my certificate, given it to my bureau, and I was.
So when you were released in 2010, sir, this board gave you one of your stipulations that you were not to have any alcohol or drug use, and one of the reasons was that when this incident occurred, you were under the influence of alcohol, or possibly drugs at the time. So why would you risk that by starting to drink?
Yes, that was my mistake, you know. In truth, when I signed that paper, not to use alcohol or drug, And he wasn't,
So what would be the difference if you were out again, and what would stop you from going back out and drinking, sir?
No, that's ain't sober. That ain't sober, because then it's been something, you know. God is great, me, you know. And when I came to this place where I am sitting now for my divorce, probation, parole, I got out of here anyway, because, you know, on my way over here, I said, God, if you are too bad, you know, I wasn't thinking, you know, that I am not supposed to be over here, you know. But I came over here in the late 90s, and I got out of here, and it was so good, you know, it was so good, because, like I said in the Bible, you know, I am a fasting today and this union for blowing my power. And I have said, because I work for with the AA people, I have the national people, they to volunteers, they came from the street over here every week, once a week. And I have associated myself with those people, you know, because they got 20, 40, 10, 15 years old, you know. And they made it to that point, I can do everything. And I came to that conclusion. And that's it, the friend chief that I established, because my whole body is the they are not bad people, they are people, you know. But my whole body, you know, they like to drink and everything, and beer or chocolate or whatever. I cannot miss out with that. It's not that I want to put my back of them, but I have to look after myself. Because I'm almost 70 years old. I don't want to die too, you know. So if I don't drink it here, that is the purpose for me to walk out of here and be able to make a difference. And that's what I do believe. It's on my heart that I will be here.
So, sir, I see that you also was doing AA classes while you were inside the, well, since you've been there. So has that helped you, or do you plan to continue AA if you were back out?
Of course. Of course, I was going to try to get a job to pay me before they were people. I got like a penny to pay people with an issue, you know, to keep them away from them.
Okay, Mr. Santana, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions, sir.
All
right, seeing no questions coming from the board, so I see that you do have one supporter here. Is it Mr. Oliveira?
Yes, sir.
Sir, if you want to come up and speak now, just walk up to the mic and just state your name and present the information to the board.
Good morning, my name's Dan Oliveri.
Go ahead.
I apologize for being late, by the way, I came in.
So it looks like you was right on time.
Halfway through. So I just wanted to come in kind of, I know obviously behind, you know, your guys' chair, you guys can only see really what's on record, but I have an account of, you know, what I absorbed from Santana outside when he was released in 2010. And what I've seen as far as the transformation since he's been in jail. You had asked a question, Mr. Johnson, about what changed. And I think just watching him from, you know, I met Tom Vaughn in 2010 when he was released. And he went through an interesting time because obviously he gets out, he's looking for a job, nobody wants to hire him. He has this desire to tell the truth about what happened and not try to, you know, lie or fool anybody. And nobody hires him. At that point in time, I pretty much thought he was done. He was, you know, no job, how are you going to live? You're going to do something illegal, you're going to go back to jail, that's it. Instead, he went on this mission of starting a scrap metal business, which really, really impressed me. I'm an entrepreneur myself, I own 4 businesses, and it was interesting to see someone come out from nothing and literally go grab scrap metal, save every dollar he had, eventually go get a small industrial scale, start scrapping metal, buying the metal, and then selling it back to make a profit, so on and so forth. Had numerous hurdles in that process. You know, obviously the state came in at some point in time and said, hey, you're not doing it right, you gotta get IDs, you have to have a video camera system, you have to have this, that, and the other. He jumped through the hurdles and got everything done and was eventually able to start a business that, or keep a business running that was able to support him and his family, so on and so forth. One big mistake that Savannah had when he was out there was he associated himself with bad people, okay? And, or I shouldn't say bad people, people that were not under the circumstances that he was in as far as parole. You and I, we go out, we go to a barbecue, we have a drink, not a problem. He has a drink, it's a problem. And I think that he, at first I saw that he was on the straight and narrow, no issues, he did everything he was supposed to be doing, and then of course, from your UAs and all these different things, he dabbled. You know, he played the game, shot the dice, so on and so forth. When he first came in here, he had very little accountability for his actions. Would justify, minimize his behavior, which is obviously the first tell sign that you got a problem, that needs to get released. You want to go back to doing what you were doing. Over time, since he's been here and since he's gone through the AA program, I've noticed what I call the AA transformation. I have several people that work for me in my companies that were recovering alcoholics, and I've known before they were in AA and after. And obviously, one of the core principles in AA is, you know, take accountability for your actions and stop justifying, minimizing, and understand that you obviously do have a problem and something that needs to be addressed. And I've seen that transformation. He's at a point now where he realizes he made a mistake. He realized that you guys blessed him with a golden ticket, and he did away with it. What I have done, what I'm prepared to do for Santana, if you guys allow me to do it, is I can employ him at any one of my companies. I can find something for him to do, keep him employed, make sure that he has a job. I have Mary Jean Galvin, which owns a few halfway houses in Tucson. She's willing to take him in and get him a seat. In addition to that, I have a couple friends at COPE, which is a drug type program. They do hire individuals that have had alcohol problems in the past and are in his situation to kind of mentor other people. I think the key to his recovery, if there is any key, is to help try to change the environment. Now, I'm not naive, and I realize that if an individual would like to go do something illegal or do something wrong, they could certainly do that. But I think that it would definitely help by changing the environment. And then I guess the last thing I would say is, I kind of compare, obviously I've never been in the type of trouble that South Carolina was in, but as a juvenile, I went through every single program that Pima County offered. From juvenile prison to the boot camps, Kansas State Academy, every single thing that you could possibly do. I was headed to, end up in prison or dead for sure, or the gangbanger, I did all those things. What changed for me was the people that I surrounded myself with. When I was 15 years old, I was told by a chief officer that I had to either do community service or find a job. I found a job, and I ended up rubbing shoulders with a firm in town, and it changed my life. I started talking to you, I was dealing with the attorneys there, I was dealing with people from different, had different walks of life, different perspective, and it gave me light. And it allowed me to understand that there was more to life than my, you know, 3 blocks of neighborhood that I so happily defend at the time. So that makes me believe that if Salvador is given a chance and he's around the right people and he's in the right environment, he's going to have a better chance. I think he did a hell of a job when he was out there, although I know that the paperwork, you know, shows that he made some mistakes. But I can tell you from being there, I mean, he great-grandfather, everybody loves him that knows him. He doesn't present himself to be a violent individual out there. He drank and it was a stupid thing for him to do, but I think after almost 6 years back in prison, if he doesn't get it by now, you know, I don't know what else will. So, you know, that's what I'm willing to do as far as the support system.
So he has to have this listed as a, where he was there, he was released?
Yeah.
So are you able to support him, doesn't have a job, are you able to, after all the 3 months of presidential and financial to be able to assist him if he was released?
Yes, sir. I have a 3,500 square foot house. I have an extra room that's my home office that I could very easily convert into a place. I think one of the programs that I attended in the past, there was an issue because I believe the board members were looking out for my family and they were worried about my kids being around him. I'm not worried about that, but to make sure I got over that hurdle, I did secure additional housing with a halfway house if that's more appropriate for the board.
So as an ICE detainer, are you aware of that?
I am aware of that.
So I'm going to assume he had this detainer when he was released last time, so what happened, you know?
I didn't know something at that point in time, so I'm not sure how exactly that worked, but I am aware of it, and I do realize that that's probably going to be the next hurdle. Step number one is obviously earn your guys' trust and see if we can, you know, get past that hurdle, and then the next step would be going to ICE and seeing if there's a way to work on that.
So I'm assuming the board has it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mr. Kenyanis, go ahead.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I appreciate that you're invested in Mr. Santana's success. How did you get to know him exactly?
I met Santana. If I understand this correctly, he grew up with my mother and some really close friends of the family back in Havana, Cuba. So naturally, when he was released, they reconnected at one point in time. I guess he had a relationship that ended. He started dating my mother, and that's how I met. That's how I met.
Thank you.
Dr. Roy.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Johnson. I appreciate everything that you've said, and I think that he's made progress. But I'm still concerned, sir. I mean, he was out for 3 years, and apparently, I'm going to use the word apparently, he did not commit any offense. He was not caught using anything during that period. What happened after 3 years? He knew that he was on the thing. I know you may not be able to answer this. I'm just asking.
I think I can.
He was out for those 3 years. He apparently he was doing quite well. You had provided employment, housing, and everything for him. And after 3 years, you know, although the allegation is not there, but it is in the record, not only did he use alcohol, he also had a problem with cocaine. So what happened to him, sir?
Well,
he just didn't respect his board.
This
that's
is
my concern. He did not respect his board, sir.
And I understand that, fully understand that when you guys do put your trust into someone like him to go back into the community, you are held accountable for that decision. And I agree. I don't think he respected the board. I don't think he understood how important it was for himself and for the community to do what he was supposed to do. To answer your question, I think what happened was, and I've seen this a lot with other people, friends of mine that I grew up with, I've even seen it with myself. Over time, you start to think you're okay. You know, I can drink a little bit. You know, I can drink, it's just a beer. You know, he's drinking a beer, I can drink a beer. I can go do this, I can go do that. And over time, it starts to progress. And I think that's what ended up happening. I think that he started to convince himself that he was okay. And the other thing was, is when he was in AA back then, I believe he was going through AA back then because it was a requirement. I think now he understands that this is, again, that goes back to that accountability. I think he recognizes now at this point in time that he does actually have a problem, and, you know, I don't want to throw any type of religion in this or anything like that, but I'm a firm believer of God, and I believe that if you're doing the wrong things, that you're not operating with integrity, at some point in time, it's going to come back on you. And I think that he understands that. And it's just not worth the gamble anymore. He's almost 70 years old. One more occurrence means he's going to jail. The guy's not running anywhere. He's not going to go in hiding or anything like that. So if he's doing wrong, he's going to get caught. He's going to end up back in here. But to answer your question, I think that that's what happened. I think that he started to believe that he could get away with it, and he operated without integrity. And when you operate without integrity, those things eventually come back to you. And I can tell you that there's going to be a second line of accountability here. Back then, I was not vested in him like I am now. I take off from work. I leave all of my employees. I continue to come down here. I continue to do research. I'm invested now. So I can tell you that besides the pressure of the board, he's going to have the pressure of me. Because if I've spent this many years coming up here to do this and have these conversations, and I see him doing something wrong, he's definitely going to feel it. He's not going to get away with it. That's for sure, not from me. I know that was kind of extensive, and maybe...
I appreciate it, sir. Let me just ask you one other question, sir. When he was out, when he was released the first time, was he actually residing with you at that time? I remember the board had some concerns about him being around your family. I do remember that. I was sitting on the board. I remember that did come up. So where was he residing at that time?
I believe he started out... I didn't know him until he was already kind of into his term, about 6 months. I think he started out, I think he was released, if I remember correctly, please don't hold me on this because I don't know I don't know the exacts, but I believe he was released. He got married to someone while he was in here, or was getting married to someone. He was released to her. When he was out, they very quickly realized that they were not very compatible, and there were some situations where there were some arguments. I think he realized at that point in time that he couldn't be in that situation. And then at some point in time, I want to say maybe at halfway house, he may be the best person to answer that as I'm talking, because I don't really know exactly where that worked. What I can tell you is that when I did meet him, I was hesitant with him being around my kids. I was hesitant about him being around my mom, mainly because of his charges, and I realized, you know, where to be. So it took me a couple seconds to kind of, you know, get to know him. But when I did get to know him, we got to a point where my mom would watch my kids. He was around my children. My children absolutely loved and adored him. There was never a time where I questioned, you know, my kids' safety or what was going on in the house. He was very respectful, and he paid attention to what was around my kids as far as, you know, the people that come in, so on and so forth. In fact, he didn't let people usually show up and kept our kids kind of, you know, secluded, if that makes sense. So to answer your question, I've never had an issue or concern other than in the beginning for the obvious reasons.
Thank you. We commend you for all of that. I know this is not your hearing, but for the success that you made, you know, from a young man to become a successful business person. Just a concern is, you know, that this, not just with him,
sure,
with anyone that this board invest in and say, well, you're out and you have your freedom, and then they come back before the board with violation. Just concerned, and I think that the board put out a terminology that he could not use any alcohol or substance abuse at all, and then he went out and did it. But that's neither here nor there for you. What I just
understand.
Say
that's right.
But thank you so very much, sir. And again, we commend you for the success you make in life, sir.
Well, thank you. And if I could say one last thing before I leave, I honestly, truly, truly believe, and I know you guys don't know me from the next person, but I've been, there's a running saying with old friends and family members, which is that I sit on my hill and I judge everybody. That's what they all say, because I eventually had to turn my back on everybody because I recognized over time that there was a gap in my lifestyle. You know, I was moving up, and either I was going to come down to them and, you know, close that gap, or they were going to come up to me. And a lot of them stayed in the drug world and that life, and I couldn't be around it. It wasn't in line with what I'm doing. I say that to say the only reason I'm here is because I truly, truly, truly believe that he's going to do this the right way this time. And that's the only reason I'm investing the time here. I don't do this for everybody. I don't come and support my family and these type of things. I have tons of family members in jail I've never even met or went back to talk to, never had a parole hearing. This is the one and only person in my whole entire life that I've showed up for, because I believe over time that he's shown me that he's a good person when he's out there. He made some terrible mistakes. But I truly believe that he's going to do what's right this time. And I think if you guys give him a shot, I don't think you're ever going to see him again.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, Sam. Yep. Are there any other supporters here that want to speak? Any other supporters here that want to speak? Any other supporters that want to speak? Okay. Any other supporters? Mr. Santana?
Yes, sir.
Sir, you have, what happened on this ISO when you were released in 2010? What happened on this ICE hold that you have? You have a hold, a federal hold from ICE.
Well, this is a situation I'm not a refugee. You know, I am not an immigrant. I'm a refugee. I'm not going to be a refugee. So when I go to the immigration, they deal with the immigration law, me and the government, how we work. Because I can't help about Cuba. You know, I'm not a threat to the Cuban army, you know. And I can't go back to what they decided by the Cuban government, they don't even accept to me, so I have to be released to the United States. The problem is also I cannot leave the United States, and they try it anyway, even before I get into our city. I know this country, I got to a lot of children here. You know, they are not there right now because they live in California, Nevada, and they all are taking care of their own family for that condition.
So in 2010, sir, when you were released in 2010, you had this ICE. Did they release you to ICE, or what happened when you got released?
No, they released me to ICE.
And then what happened?
Now I went to the immigration. I stayed a cop over there and he wrote the detention, and then from there they released me.
So when ICE released you, where did you go?
I went to the parole office over there in South Park, and I also went to ICE. Because I had to report with size too. So they hired me to supervise me once a month, and then from then once every 3 months, and then once every 6 months, and then once a year. Because I always show up. And I always show up to my room. They send someone to my people every time we got a schedule.
Okay. All right, so we're coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. At this time, we're going to be going into discussion. Is there anything else you'd like to say to this board without repeating yourself before we go into discussion, sir?
The only thing that I can tell the board for you is to apologize because of your right. He says I'm a little right. That unfortunately he wasn't, you know, my report. He wasn't part of my report, part of healing. But my report, part of healing, I did it from the bottom of my heart, apologize to the world. Forget for my stupid behavior of drinking, you know. And personally, I want to apologize to every single one of you. Forget for me to drink, because I know I was aware that I am not supposed to drink things. But what I can tell the world is that you will answer me again in this situation, you know, because the drinking for me is simple parts. I will not drink anymore, you know, because I'm not 7 years old. I don't have issues. You know, I got a lot of things to do out there better than being here. And thank you very much for giving me the opportunities. I was yours the whole.
All right, Mr. Santana, thank you. So the board's ready to go into discussion. A lot of boards are in discussion, so I'm going to ask you to stay on the phone. You can hear the conversation taking place between the board. However, I'm going to ask you to remain silent while the board is in discussion. So we'll complete our discussion, so we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you grant you a discharge, okay? All right. The board is now into discussion. Dr., I do have one question as we're in discussion right now. I see that Mr. Santana has been certified for regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge, but does have an ICE hold on him. My question is just amongst ourselves, maybe you could give me an explanation whether he could get home home arrest, or does it really be eligible for it if the information that we know right now.
I believe that the reason he's certified for home arrest, and I'm not sure, the fact that the status that he came to the United States from Cuba, he indicated himself, he did not come, as an immigrant. He came over as part of the refugee program that they had at that time between the United States and Cuba when he came over to the United States. And I think that that's the reason that ICE did not detain him, because ICE, according to information that I read just this morning, ICE actually put him out on the streets. He was homeless when he did check in with ICE, but ICE said, no, we don't want you, and so he was homeless, and of course then the rest of it is marriage and divorce and all of that.
So would we be, could we grant him home arrest? Would that be, I'm not sure if he could be granted home arrest or he has to have a regular parole.
I would say that for him to be granted home arrest, which this ICE detainer, which is still in the books,
yes,
we could not grant him the home arrest, because this ICE is still there. Technically, legally ICE could detain him, but I think because of whatever happened when he came over, that ICE made a decision not to.
Okay, so based on, just the conversation that we're having, just trying to get an understanding, I do think that Mr. Santana, he has the attached in here, the records and the certificates that he has received from AA while he's been incarcerated, and, the signature sheets where he has attended all the classes. I think he'll continue to attend those. I think that his stepson, Mr. Oliveira, is going to help and be insistent that he gets his life together. He's almost 70 years old. He didn't commit any other crimes while he was out while using the cocaine, which is an illegal drug, but he only did that. He came up positive one time, and he missed some UAs. I don't know why he missed those UAs, but he did have the two alcoholic came up, and he did have the TAS system put on him where I guess they can monitor the alcohol. I would hope that they would do that. That same thing again, but based on all the information that I've heard here today and the information that we have contained in the file, I'm susceptible to granting Mr. Santana regular parole at this time, since he cannot do home arrest. I'm convinced that he does have the support from his stepson and a place to live and a source of income that's going to be able to subdue him for a while. If he's not able to do that, then he can go to a halfway house. Obviously, looked at halfway houses in Tucson. Then we'll be able to assist him. So that's my feeling at this time. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board. Go ahead, Mr.
Well, just a quick follow-up on that. Did you see with the regular parole and not home arrest?
Because I think we can't grant home arrest because he has the ICE detainer.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the clarification that I was trying to get. I would prefer to do the home arrest. And I think if I grant the gift parole and just put some other restrictions that may help, I would recommend home arrest if we could. I just don't think we could at this time because of the situation. And he is a refugee, so he still would have to report to ICE, as he said, that when he got out last time, he reported, like he said, once a month, and once every 3 months, then once a year, that he reported, and he'll probably have to continue to do those things. So, is there any other comments? Go ahead, Ms. Kendall.
I'm willing to look at this from a sort of practical point of view, because his past issues were substance abuse. If he had returned to the community and continued the life of violence or drug trafficking or a wide variety of behaviors, I might be looking at this differently, or if he had some other type of registered offender status. But from a practical standpoint, I'm willing to entertain your proposal. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Any other comments from the board?
I agree with that. I think I'd be more comfortable if we could offer home arrest, but I think he's got a lot of support, so I could go with that.
So I think if we received a regular parole, but I would just like for some additional stipulations to be put on there. I'd like him to be on the monitor for when he gets out. And also, is that the TAD system? It's the TAD is what I saw. Is that a test that they do all the time for alcohol?
Well, it's that transdermal alcohol device that they measures alcohol through your skin.
So do they have to wear that, or?
The parole officers can put it on.
I would probably recommend those two things. I mean, if we're not going to do a home arrest or we be monitored, I would be looking at doing some things like that to add, which would be some of the things that could happen with a home arrest. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to grant Mr. Santana 31412A regular parole with stipulations. How I'm going to make that motion, and then go over some stipulations to put on there for him for the regular parole. That will be my motion at this time. Second.
Great.
As I said with the legislature, I want to my vote, and I do feel that he's made progress. However, in as much as he did violate the terms and conditions of this board, and it's not just him, it's just any time that this happened, I'm going to be the one who will disagree. But you still have the majority vote, just for the record, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to say, place them on a monitor, is that what we call it?
TAD.
That, I'm going to put tab on a ankle monitor, is that? So we call this just an ankle monitor, I have the tab system, but what do you?
Yes.
GPS system. Okay, so I'm marked on here, as a conditions of release of bylaw or mandatory DOC conditions of St. Jim needs assessments, and report our council vocational education, no alcohol use, random test for drugs, must satisfy his ICE detainer and IS detainer, reported no illegal re-entry. Recommended no contact with victim's family, must pay restitution if there is any, must satisfy one detainer, abide by institutional rules, partake in a vehicle program as directed. I did mark down his residence, Daniel Oliveri at 6951 North Magic Line, Tucson, Arizona. I did mark also here that he's been to be placed on the TAD and GPS system. Is there anything else that the board would like to add on to that? Okay, Mr. Santana?
Yes, sir.
So the board has granted you parole, regular parole, at this time, sir, and put some stipulations on there for you to do. Did you hear the stipulations, or would you like for me to go back over those with you, sir?
Yes, sir, I hear.
Huh?
Yes, I hear the stipulations.
You think that you can abide by those stipulations, sir?
Yes, I will, because my main brother is a baby, and that same story is the thing with us. I will be with you.
All right. So I also put on here that that you're going to be placed on the tab, which I think you have that, the system that you had on there to monitor you for alcohol in your blood.
Yes, sir.
I also put on here, sir, for you to have a GPS system, which is a monitor. When you get that monitor, sir, that means that you will have to turn in a weekly schedule of what your activities are going to be, and you must stay within the parameters of what that your arrangements are. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right. You will be at the parole officer's discretion, sir. If you do drink alcohol or do any drugs, sir, you will come back before this board. And I think that you won't, you know, the board, that would be your second opportunity, that it won't be the same if you came back again for this board. We are putting our trust in you, sir, and I would tell you, your stepson, Mr. Oliveri, has a great deal to do with trying to keep you straight. He says if you don't do right, he's not going to be there to support you. And he's been coming here, sir, and I think that you should, just for the sake of those who you have, that you have loved ones, the alcohol or the drug use should not supersede your relationship with your family. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board, sir. Please put your CO3 back on the phone.
Yes, sir.